Mets. Todd's life has been championships, and Mike's have been regrets. Apples and pinstripes from spring train until fall. Apples and pinstripes, they're talking baseball. Apples and pinstripes from spring train until fall. Apples and pinstripes, they're talking baseball.
Hello and welcome to Apples and Pinstripes, episode 6. I'm Todd Emanuele. That's Mike Borkowski. How's it going, Mike?
Good. How you doing?
Excellent. All right. I am wearing today, we always talk about what hat we're wearing to start off the show. I'm wearing New Era 5950 High Crown Scranton Wilkes-Barre Baby Bombers hat with the baby on the front. And I said in the past, I wore this hat one other time. I said he's got a cigar in his mouth. It's not a cigar. It's a pacifier in his mouth. They couldn't put a cigar in a baby's mouth. What was I thinking?
Although he doesn't look like an actual baby. He looks like an old man wearing a diaper.
Well, yeah. Yeah, he's got a 5 o'clock shadow and everything. I don't know. I'll hold it up to the camera so everyone could see. Mike's the only one that can see it. But, yeah, there's a baby with a 5 o'clock shadow and not a cigar. It's a pacifier. But I love this hat. And I've got the slight bend of the bill, just a small one. Your hat, I can see it on via Skype, and it has a big bend in it. Tell us what you're wearing today.
Well, that's because I'm wearing a 3930, of course.
Of course.
I'm wearing a Binghamton Mets hat, which I've had for years. They are no longer the Binghamton Mets, of course. They're now the Rumble Ponies.
Which, do you have a Rumble Ponies hat yet?
I don't have a Rumble Ponies hat yet because I haven't been down there.
Yeah. Well, we should try to get
actually got this. Yeah, it's a great place. I've been there a few times. That's actually where I bought this hat at their store in the stadium. Yeah. Fantastic, especially. I mean, Double A Park. I didn't expect a whole lot, which is, you know, bad on me. But it is a fantastic park. I had a great time there. It was packed when every time I've gone down there, it's been packed.
Yeah,
and it's been a ton of fun. But yeah, Binghamton Mets, B Mets. It's got a orange B on the front, the letter B, and also a bumblebee, which was their mascot.
Go figure.
Navy That's blue cool. hat. Their colors were navy blue and orange.
Oh, what? See, I didn't even realize
instead
that.
Instead of the royal blue of the New York Mets.
I am colorblind, but, and I honestly thought that was royal blue on your hat. I had no idea. I don't know why. I just assumed because it's a Mets hat that it was royal blue and orange.
Right. Yeah, the body of the hat is blue and the brim is orange, and I love this hat. I wear it all the time.
It's a nice one. I like that one. I haven't seen you wear that one in a while, but I don't see you every day. So you don't get out much, I don't think.
No, I don't.
That wasn't nice of me, but it's true. I don't get out much either. So, oh, boy. But, yeah, so I like that. I like that one. We have a couple of minor league hats on today. I like it. Yeah. All right. Well, I really didn't want to talk about this too much, but it's kind of hard to ignore the story of the week in sports. You know, not it is kind of baseball related, and I'll touch on that a lot more. But the whole Kobe Bryant thing was, you know, it dominated the headlines this past week, just, you know, several days ago that happened out there in California, and Kobe and his daughter Gianna passing away on that horrible accident with that helicopter on their way to the Mamba Academy for a basketball game. Man, this story has just bothered me so much. The one thing that's bothered me the most, and I'm not going to talk about the accident anymore because we've all heard it. We know what happened. It's terrible. But the way the media reports these things just drives me crazy. Everyone rushes to get the story out first, and no one fact checks anymore.
Yeah, it's horrible. I mean, there were reports that all of his kids were on the helicopter. Right. There was reports that Rick Fox and his kids were on the helicopter.
Tweeted out immediately when that came out. I'm fine. I wasn't there. Like,
yeah,
what
so is irresponsible.
And I saw this morning that an ABC reporter was actually suspended, I think. I don't know if he was fired or just suspended for reporting and putting it out on the news that Kobe's four kids were all on that helicopter. And I mean, obviously it was not true. And he just went with, someone told him that and he went with it. And boy, you just can't do that. I know that's just the way it is now, because everyone's got to be first in the Twitter news age now, where everything comes instantly. You're just lacking, you know, good news. It's not the truth, and it gets put out there, and it just makes it way worse than it is, in my mind. So anyway, I don't know how much you want to talk about that, but the one thing that does tie with our show theme, with, you know, we talk Yankees and Mets mostly, but, you know, we try to talk about all baseball. But one of the people, actually three of the people on that helicopter, were tied to both the Yankees and Mets in a way, but baseball, definitely. And that was John Altobelli, who was the baseball manager, the manager of Orange Coast College out there in California. He was 56 years old. His wife, Carrie, was 46 on the helicopter. And his daughter, Alyssa, played with Kobe Bryant's daughter on the basketball team. She was 13 years old, also passing away. And they have two other kids, a 16-year-old girl and his son, JJ, who is from another marriage, but still two kids left at home without the rest of their family. And it really, this one just crushes me, thinking, you know, what if my wife and I took our youngest somewhere and this happened, and my two other kids were just left on their own? Can you even imagine that? How do you go on? I don't know how you can do that. I can't even put it into words.
That's my biggest nightmare, honestly, is something like that happening. And I worry about it all the time. It's just horrible, the whole thing. And seeing like how the accident happened and how avoidable it was.
Oh, it really was. And shouldn't even been up in the air, basically.
They just shouldn't have been there. And I understand you got somewhere to be, but, you know,
yeah,
nothing's that important to risk everything like that. And who knows? Maybe they didn't think they were risking anything. Maybe they thought everything was all right. But
from the sound, I mean, I saw a video. There was someone released their Ring doorbell video. You can hear the helicopter fly over and eventually crash. And it doesn't sound like anything went wrong. It didn't sound like it was slowing down. It just sounded like it was going, and then all of a sudden, it stopped.
Did you hear how fast they were going?
I haven't heard the official. No,
they were going 185 miles an hour, and he couldn't see anything, and they just slammed into the side of a mountain.
See, you know what? That makes me feel better in a way, because they had no idea it was going to happen.
That's what I was actually talking with my wife about it last night, and I said the only thing I hope is that they just never knew anything was wrong, and it just they didn't suffer at all.
I bet you they had no idea what hit them then, or what they hit. They had no idea it was coming, and no idea it even happened, probably, because you're going that fast and you slam into a mountain. That's not good. So, well, if there's anything good from it, I guess there's that they probably didn't suffer at all. But anyway, what a fun start to the show here today.
Yeah.
Jeez.
I think everyone's kind of getting over they're grieving and mourning this week. So
the shock
we're
still
right there with everybody.
It's just crazy thinking, I was never a big Kobe Bryant fan. I liked the way he played the game and stuff. And I mean, obviously he turned into a great father and stuff and all that, but, it's just weird that, you know, here he is posting on Twitter, you know, congratulating LeBron James the night before this happened, you know, congratulating him on passing him on the all-time scoring list. And then, geez, within 10 hours or 12 hours, or whatever, he's not here anymore. And the whole thing is just crazy to think. But anyway, going back to this, John Altobelli, I wanted to talk a little bit about him. I didn't realize this. His son played college baseball for him at OCC out there before becoming a scout for the Red Sox. I'm not sure if he's still a scout for the Red Sox, but so he's been involved in baseball too. Thought that was interesting. He was the head coach. This would have been his 24th year as the head coach there. His team won the state championship in 2019. He was named the National JUCO Coach of the Year. They actually opened their season this past Tuesday, just a couple days ago. And the Yankees' Gerrit Cole actually went out there and was part of the crowd. They had a huge crowd for their first game. Gerrit Cole is from Orange County, so obviously familiar with the school, big baseball program out there. But they, I think the game, it was suspended due to darkness the first game. Anyway, they had a big crowd there for that. And the school set up a memorial fund for the two kids, JJ and Alexis, that are still around. I thought that was nice of them. The college president said, your family's taken care of us over the years. Now we're going to take care of you. Here's the tie to the Yankees and Mets that I've been getting at here for a while. John Altobelli also spent time coaching in the Cape Cod League, one of the most popular collegiate woodbat summer leagues in the country. And in 20, what year was it? 2012, he actually coached Aaron Judge, now on the Yankees, and Jeff McNeil, who is on the Mets. And they spent that 1 year in the Cape Cod League and played for Altobelli. McNeil tweeted after he saw the news that he was one of my favorite coaches I've ever had. He was one of the main reasons I got a chance to play professional baseball. And Judge could only tweet the words, this isn't real. Judge credited his summer with the Brewster Whitecaps, Altobelli's team, as a formative part of his development. He said, I enjoyed every bit of that summer. The Yankees ended up selecting Judge in the 32nd overall in the first round in the 2013 draft. Where was McNeil drafted? I don't know anything about that, actually.
I don't know, actually.
He kind of came out of nowhere.
McNeil's one of those guys. He really did. Like, you know, we heard about, of course, Pete Alonso coming up and, you know, how he was crushing it. And, you know, most of the guys who've come up the last few years, you heard about him. But I honestly never really heard anything about Jeff McNeil. And then all of a sudden he comes up. You know, he came up late 1 year and just hit the ball like crazy. And we're like, yeah, wow, who's this kid?
He's a hitting machine. And
he never stopped ever since, you know, and it's really pretty amazing.
Yeah, and if you want more information on the whole OCC, the Orange Coast College Memorial Fund and all that, you can go to OCCPirateAthletics.com if you want to look into that more. I don't know. I thought that was nice what they did for him out there, and a little tie to the Yankees and Mets that I thought I'd mention. And it's just a terrible situation that happened this past Sunday. So we hope and we wish the best for all the families. Not an easy time for sure. We're going to talk about fantasy baseball today. I got to say, you said Jeff McNeil, you know, he just started hitting. He's a hitting machine. He carried my fantasy team last year. He was one of the Mets I had. I had him and Pete Alonso as Mets on my team. I think the rest of my team was Yankees. We'll get into that more because we're going to argue about fantasy baseball, and you might want to stay tuned for that because Mike loves fantasy baseball. I'm not so big on it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we'll see how
reverse
that goes.
That.
I'm going to get you playing this year somehow if I have to get all of our listeners to gang together and force you to do it. So my mom.
Yeah.
My dad. We got a few. Anyway, we'll talk about fantasy baseball and more come up. Did you want to mention anything else before we cut to commercial break?
No. Let's go to break and talk about some more fun stuff when we come back.
After this, you're listening to Apples and Pinstripes. Back on Apples and Pinstripes. As episode 6 rolls along, I'm Todd Emanuele. That's Mike Borkowski. And I got a notification today on my phone that my fantasy baseball league is open for the season. The 2020 season is open. I've got all the teams back except for, actually, I have to fill two teams. I know two of the people didn't want to play again this year. And one of them was my son. He got a team last year and he never looked at it once. So I guess he's on your boat with the whole fantasy thing. But the league is open and I get excited come fantasy baseball time. I can't believe that you don't like fantasy baseball. You've never tried it though. That's the thing.
I just don't see the point of it.
It's
hard enough. Here's one thing. It's hard enough just being a Mets fan.
This is invalid. Come on.
What?
Invalid. You know, you can't.
You've never been a Mets fan. You don't know what it's like.
So you should enjoy rooting for other people then.
No. Why?
It makes you you're a baseball fan.
Yeah, I'm a baseball. I watch baseball. I watch MLB Network all the time.
And you can have your own.
And I love it. But all it would do was add more frustration to my life from the way I can see it.
Ah, it's fun. Even if my team is bad one week, I don't get frustrated. It's fun.
Explain to me what I would have to put into it.
Because
I honestly don't. It can't be nothing.
You really don't have to put anything into it. You don't even have to show up to the draft. Your team will auto draft for you, and the season will just play out with your players. If they're hurt or not, they'll be in the lineup. It won't help. I mean, it helps if you pay attention to it.
Well, but you just said your son isn't going to do it this year. And last year, he didn't even touch his team. So what do you have to do?
You don't have to do anything. You have to give me your email address.
No, but I'm saying he didn't touch his team. What would he have to do to touch it?
To touch it? What would he have to do? You just pay attention to who's hot and who's not hot. And you have, like, four or five guys on your bench, or three or four guys on your bench, and pitchers in the bench, and you rotate guys in. Now, like with the pitching staff, there is some strategy involved with it. You can only start them a certain amount of starts per season. So, like, it normally lasts the whole regular season, and then come playoff time, if you've used your starting pitchers, you can't use them in the playoffs, and then your team loses because you don't have any pitchers left. What are you shaking your head for?
So there's dumb rules to it too.
Yeah, there is, like, all kinds of rules. But it's not dumb. It's strategy to keep you paying attention and switching your pitchers in and out. So towards the end of the season this past year, because I always forget about that dumb pitching rule, and I always run out of my pitchers.
It's not dumb. No, well, you're saying it's dumb.
You said it's dumb, so I said it's dumb. I'm impressionable. Okay. The 2 years in a row, I forgot to do that, and I lost my pitchers in, like, the championship round. My team always makes the playoffs. Why? Because I pay attention to it all season, and I keep it going and keep the good guys in there and switch guys out and pick up free agents here and there. And
you just said you don't have to pay attention to it. So if I don't pay attention to it, I'll lose.
Exactly. But you'd be a part of it. You'd at least fill my league up, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's what you want. You just want another body in there.
Well, but I would like it if you tried it and actually tried to do it. But if you, last year, I remembered the whole pitching thing, and I benched my pitcher, all my starting pitchers, the last 2 weeks of the season, because I had already locked up a playoff spot. So I benched all of my starting pitchers. You can still use relief pitchers. So all my starting pitchers were on the bench. And I had them all for the 2 weeks of the playoffs, and I still lost in the championship, but I lost to another guy who is just as passionate about it as me, and we always seem to meet each other in the finals or at least the playoffs every year, my buddy Jim. So he's into it like I am. Now, if you did it and you paid attention to it part of the time, that would be better than not paying attention to it at all, and you'd have a chance of making the playoffs.
The only thing I've ever done that was even close to fantasy is that Beat the Streak app.
Fantasy and baseball.
I gave up on it after like a week and a half. I'm like, that's enough of this.
And that's only picking one player every day.
Right.
And you could pick it like 2 weeks in advance too. So too much. Yeah. Come on. Okay. We used to do a league. My league used to be one that you would only change your guys once a week. And that one was really easy, but it was kind of boring. Because you couldn't change it every day. You just kind of paid attention to the scores that your guys come up with. But the one I'm doing now is ESPN, and you actually have to check it every single day and make sure your starting pitchers that you have are in the lineup so you're getting points for them, because if they're on the bench, you don't get points for them. And, you know, make sure that if someone's hurt, you get them out of there, either put them on the injured list or on your bench and get other guys in there. And you have to pay attention to who's dropping who. Like, if other teams drop a player, you can scoop them up within a few days off the waiver wire, and there's trades. It's just like you're running a baseball team, except you do the draft and you get to pick your players. Now, that's another thing. I'm deciding this year there's like three different ways you can do the draft. Which one do you think I should do? Because Normally we just do. I know I'm asking you, but
this is like when people go on Twitter and they're like talking about their fantasy team, and they're like, "Oh, I have this guy and I have this guy, and which guy should I take? Should I take this guy or this guy?" And not a single other person on the planet cares. Yes, they
do. I care. Actually, if you're not in my league, I don't care. But where was it? You just threw me off my train of thought here. So, what was I talking about?
You're deciding between one thing and another stupid thing.
Right. The draft, we could either do a snake draft where you start with the first pick and go to 12, and then it goes 12 back to 1. So you kind of snake your way through the people in your league and you get to pick players. Or I was thinking maybe this year doing this, but this is kind of work and I don't want to have to work at it. But actually bidding on players, like you get a budget and you have to bid on players, and you know, the better players are worth more obviously than the lesser players. So you have to spend your money, whatever it is, you know, wisely. So you have a decent team, but doesn't it seem like too much work to do that one?
It all seems like too much work. Every single bit of it.
Did you just hear my eyes roll? You like baseball.
I love baseball.
Pick all Mets. Pick all Mets.
That would just guarantee that the Mets stink.
Or maybe it wouldn't.
Single Met would get either hurt or they would have the worst season of their careers.
No, because my fantasy league doesn't mean anything. We don't play for money or anything. We just do it for fun.
You don't play for money?
No.
Well, then what's the point? I thought at least, okay, if you win, you get some money at the end of it. You don't get money?
No.
Oh, my God. Now there's really no reason to play.
Oh, come on. We've talked about it last year, and I put it out there, you know, everyone throw in $20 or whatever, and the winner take all at the end of the season, but nobody jumped on that.
Nobody wants to put it in.
Nobody wanted to put it in, so we did it for free again last year, and I lost in the championship again. My friend Jim would be getting all the money every year because he seems to win it every year. I did win it 2 years ago, but I didn't get anything for that either.
What'd you win?
Nothing. I was going to pat on the back. I was going to get like a trophy or one of those wrestling belts, you know, that says fantasy baseball champ, or a t-shirt or something. But that involves spending money on that. And I didn't want to do that. So you have no interest still after my spiel.
I think I have even less interest than I had before. My headphones. After talking to you.
You made me lose
no,
my head,
you, sir.
Wow. All right, so here's what I need people to do. I need everyone that listens to this show to get on our social media and beg Mike to get in our fantasy league, my fantasy league, our fantasy league, call it that. And if we get, what would the number take? How many people, if they said,
how about this? If we can get, like, I gotta think about a number here. Yeah, we can get. If we can get 15 separate people
that I don't know,
that you don't know, that are not related to Todd, to write to me on Twitter at M. Borkowski and tell me to do fantasy baseball, I'll do it.
Okay, let's go, people. Come on, everyone. If
15
you...
people, that's not that many.
It's a lot of people. Isn't it? It is to me. But you can
probably three times our audience, but
no, we have, I think we're up to 53 subscribers right now.
Oh, nice.
It's not too bad.
So if you get like, you know,
a third of them.
Yeah.
About, give or take. So 15 people, if they tweet, Mike, you're doing fantasy baseball.
And Todd, you can't create 15 Twitter accounts.
All these burner accounts and just go crazy. Mike, do fantasy baseball. Man, that was my idea, too. No, I don't think. Can you even create that many? I'd have to create a lot of email addresses.
I have a few.
You have burner accounts?
Not burner accounts. I have, like, well, we created the Apples and Pinstripe account. I have my own account.
If I tweet from that you're going to know it's me.
No, I know. I'm just saying, like, I have multiple accounts that I manage. So I have like 3 or 4 Instagram accounts that I mess with.
Well, we have the apples and pinstripes one.
Right. I have one for something I haven't done anything with yet. I just wanted to make sure I had the name.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Hopefully we can talk about that today, right?
Yeah, I hope so.
You're so optimistic. That Mets talent. You actually what?
I think I've been getting notifications that I think I got all those accounts like a year ago this week. So it's been a year that I've been sitting on them.
That's been a year already?
Yeah.
Yikes. Let's do something here.
I know. I gotta, man. Gotta get going.
All right. So my fantasy team last year. I touched on this.
Back
to fantasy baseball.
Are we still on this?
Jeff McNeil and Pete Alonso were two of the main guys on my team. See, you can have them on your team if you're lucky.
I just told you what's going to happen. Jeff McNeil will break his hand again. Pete Alonso will hit 4 home runs this year.
Oh, gosh. Could you imagine? Well, I had Aaron Judge last year, too, and that was, I'm like, in the draft, he was my first overall pick. And he missed, what, 2/3 of the season?
Yeah.
With that oblique injury, so that he did not help me that much last year. But I had Gleyber Torres. He tore it up for me. I had a pretty decent team. And you don't care one bit.
I don't care.
15 people. Come on, people.
15 people.
We got to have Mike in the fantasy league this year. It's going to be a regular thing on the show of how our team... it would be something we could talk about on here.
Nobody cares. Nobody cares about someone else's fantasy team.
But it's our fantasy team.
Right, you care about your team. If I had one, I would barely care about my own.
I would care more about your team than you would care about your team.
Probably.
I'd be like, you got to switch this guy. He's been on the injured list for 3 weeks. What are you doing? You're killing yourself over there. Oh, man.
How did your son do with not even looking at it? What place did he come in?
He did awful at first. He did not finish in last place. And I'll tell you, he's the only one that didn't look at his team the entire season. Like, he never looked at his team. He asked me who was on his team. And that was as far as he ever got. He never even looked at it on his phone or anything. Like, I'm like, Bren, come on. You got to do something. I don't feel like it. Okay. Anyway, he had the worst record.
Kid.
Yeah, what's that?
I knew I liked that kid.
Yeah. He's good at smuggling donuts, too. I guess that's it.
Not a single person knows what you're talking about.
Nope. Yo, you do. Popcorn boxes, smuggling donuts. Anyway, yeah. Whatever.
So he did not come in last place.
No, he was bad at first. Like, his team was the worst for a while, but then he finished the season. He won like 6 in a row to end the season, so he actually finished close to 500, which was shocking considering he never looked at his team once. And there was like 3-4 teams that finish underneath them. So I was pretty impressed. He has pretty good skills for not even looking at it.
For doing absolutely nothing.
And not even picking his players because they all auto-drafted for him. He had nothing to do with it other than giving me his email address, and I put him in the league because I needed someone to fill it out. Because why? Because you wouldn't do it. Again, you were my last hope.
So you're going to sign him up again this year?
Just use his email address. If I do, I will. But 15 people are going to send us some tweets saying, Mike, you have to play fantasy baseball this year. We're never going to get 15 tweets on that. Because like you said, no one cares. Yeah.
Why
do,
does
though.
Anyone care if I'm going to do it?
They should. They should all care. And now I can't create accounts to do it, to make you do it. Oh, well. All right. Well, is that enough fantasy talk for you today? For today?
It's enough for my whole life.
Wow. So we're going to scratch that from the rundown of the show every week then, right? Fantasy talk with Todd. You don't want to do that segment every week?
How about if we get 15 people telling you that fantasy is stupid, you can't do it this year?
I know. I can't. No, I have to do it. But you know what? If people do that, I can't do that. I love it too much. I enjoy it. It's something I look forward to every day because you can only watch so much baseball. That makes me feel involved. I'm following other players that I normally wouldn't follow because I watch the Yankees. I'll watch the Mets if the Yankees aren't on that night. And I know from listening to you and stuff, I know the players, so I'm interested in the Mets too. But other teams I don't pay any attention to unless they're playing the Yankees. So fantasy baseball gets me involved in knowing who's doing what around the league, and it keeps me interested.
And I will say, look, if you love fantasy sports, that's awesome. Hey, knock yourself out. That's cool. I'm just saying, I have no use for it. And every year before every season, Todd will send me, hey, time to sign up. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. I'll find an eye roll GIF and send it to him. And
I begged several more times. And I always get the eye roll.
or the staring kid blinking.
Yeah, the staring kid blinking meme. sometimes I want to smack him.
Stanley Hudson eye rolling from The Office.
Oh, yeah.
Another favorite of mine.
And then you'll make a wisecrack and send the...
Mr.
What's his name?
Roper.
Mr. Roper, yeah, from Three's Company.
Looking at the camera, smiling.
What did we do before memes and GIFs? That has made texting so much better. We used to call each other, not you and I, but I'm saying people in general. And now it's funny how it used to be. When you first got cell phones, everyone was like, oh, call me, listen to my ringtone, blah, blah, blah. Now it's like, yeah, my phone's always on silent. I don't have a ringtone on there. I never want to hear it. And please don't call me. Just text me. Like my mother-in-law always says that. You need to talk to people. You need to call and talk to people sometimes. I'm like, no, I really don't. I said, I never talk to my own mother on the phone. We text each other all the time. That's how we communicate with each other.
I really hardly ever use my phone as an actual phone.
Oh, yeah.
I think most people are that way.
Yep. Oh, I would totally agree. And I think the most calls I ever get on my phone are like, they say scam likely.
Yeah.
I hang up on them. There's like two people that call me on my phone other than doctor's offices. That's it. My wife and occasionally one of my kids will call, but we text with them too. So it's just funny how it's changed over the years. All right. Why don't we take a break and we'll come back and talk some more. There's some news in baseball we could talk about quick, and we'll see what else we got for you here on Apples and Pinstripes. Stay tuned. All right, back on Apples and Pinstripes, Todd Emanuele and Mike Borkowski with you here. And we had some news in baseball this week. Dusty Baker officially, I think it was official as of today, we're recording this on Thursday, that he is the new manager of the Houston Astros. And he got a one-year deal, I guess, with a club option for a second year. I thought it was only a one-year deal, and I was wondering why they would do that. But with the club option for a second year, that makes a lot more sense. What do you think about bringing in Dusty Baker there in Houston?
I think it's kind of like a safe move, I guess. they don't want to bring anyone up from the organization because the commissioner's office pretty much came down on pretty much the entire organization, even though they only got rid of the general manager and the field manager.
Right.
They pretty much came down and said this entire organization needs some work. Mm-hmm. So they had to get somebody who well respected and been around a long time and Dusty Baker's their guy.
Well, and, you know, he's a player manager. The guys all love him, and they play hard for him. I mean, he's never really won anything big, so this is a chance for him, I guess, with that team. And you wonder how good they'll be without their cheating things going on over there. But or maybe they'll find another way around it. But, yeah, it is a safe hire. I was worried that they were going to hire Buck Showalter because I think he would have been a better choice. But, I don't know, maybe he didn't want to go into that situation and have to deal with that, knowing how he is.
He was interviewed, right?
He was definitely interviewed for it, I don't know if the Red Sox interviewed him. I wonder if they'll... Because they haven't said anything about that yet.
They were saying the Red Sox may not have a manager going into spring training.
It's 2 weeks. 2 weeks from today is pitchers and catchers report. I can't imagine. That must be chaotic in ways that you don't have a manager in place. But I guess they feel like whoever else is there can run it in the meantime. I haven't heard anything about the Red Sox. Like, everything has been so quiet with the whole investigation by Major League Baseball. It's been weeks, and we haven't heard anything about, you know, Alex Cora's. I'm guessing he's going to be suspended since the Red Sox let him go, or they mutually agreed, whatever, mutually agreed, quote-unquote, that he wouldn't be the manager anymore. But I wonder when we're going to hear anything and when they'll name a manager. And who it could be. I've heard Jason Varitek's name out there. Ex-catcher. That'd be a good hire, I think. But I don't know. I don't know how. Maybe he's not a good coach. But I don't know. Even know if he's coaching anywhere.
It's so funny with, like, you know, I'll watch SNY and they'll talk about the Mets manager situation. They're talking about how, you know, Mets new manager Luis Rojas, like, he doesn't have any major league experience and all this, and they're going on and on about it, and it's like, okay, well, neither did Carlos Beltran, and you love that hire. How many games did Aaron Boone manage before he became the Yankees manager?
Zero. How many did he wasn't even involved in coaching anywhere except for his kids.
He was doing batting stances on ESPN.
Exactly, right?
And then he became the Yankees manager.
And
what have they done since?
Yeah.
Win all the time.
It helps that they have good players, but I think he's a good manager. The players love playing for him. So I think you're going to see that with the Mets this year. Luis Rojas, I think it's going to be a real under-the-radar move. You know, people are saying, oh, this guy doesn't have experience, blah, blah, blah. My hot take for the 2020 season is the Mets are going to make the playoffs. And a lot of people are going to say, what a great hire this Luis Rojas was. Great hire.
The thing is, he does have a lot of managerial experience.
Right.
It's not major league experience, but he has run teams and he's won championships.
And he's managed some of these players too.
Yeah, he has great relationships with all these players.
I think it's a great move. I think this was a blessing in disguise, the whole Beltran thing. And, you know, he couldn't stay. It really worked out, I think. You know, we'll see, but I think it's really going to work out for the Mets this year. Speaking of the Mets, you guys had a fan fest last week.
Yeah, the first ever Mets fan fest.
Why don't the Yankees have a fan fest?
A lot of teams don't. Like I said, this is the first time the Mets have done one. Teams have been doing these for years. The Mets never did one. Yeah. A lot of fans put on the Queens baseball fan fest the last few years, which was basically a way to kind of force the Mets into doing a fan fest, and they finally did it. And I didn't go. I really wanted to go, but I figured it being the first, because it was the first one, and I wasn't sure if it was going to be worth the trip down there. You know, I didn't want to go down there, spend a bunch of money.
Yeah.
It's kind of a hassle to get down there. Me and you have gone down there before. And
we got a lot of stories to tell about that.
That trip.
Was a day.
And, you know, I would have had to go down and back the same day because I had stuff going on the following day. And I just didn't want to do it. But from everything I have heard, most Mets fans who went have been raving about how it went. And I saw some of the videos online.
Yeah, it looked great.
It just looked awesome. I mean, fans are just mingling with the players and hanging out playing ping pong with them. Pete Alonso's throwing kids BP in the cage. Like,
yep.
Pete Alonso almost got his head taken off by a line drive.
If your son was in that batting cage hitting off of Pete Alonso, he would have killed him.
Well, first of all, my son would have lost his mind.
Yeah, well, maybe he wouldn't have been able to swing.
Probably wouldn't have been able to swing the bat. But can you imagine if you're a kid and you're taking BP off Pete Alonso and you hit a line drive off Pete's head and he's done for the season?
Oh, my gosh. First of all,
that would be like ultimate Metsing right there. You know,
and that would be Pete the Alonzo's end of FanFest, too.
Yeah, that would be the end of FanFest. But... yeah, I mean, it sounds like it just was a fantastic event, and I bet next year, because I think a lot of Mets fans didn't go because they were not so sure about how it was going to go. Yeah. I bet next year tickets, if they do it again, I bet tickets go pretty quickly.
And you should take a train down and go next year. Even if you took a train back that same night, you could sleep on the way back.
Right.
You know, you really should, and take your kid down there and... maybe they'll do the exact same thing. I mean, everything I saw was great about it, and people were loving it, and the Mets loved it. The players seemed to enjoy themselves, and I don't know.
Maybe this will get the Yankees to do one.
I wonder. And, you know, they kind of, down in spring training, you can, I mean, it's not fan fest, but if you go to Florida during spring training, during the workout days, the players mingle around, and you can easily talk to them, and they... I've seen it before for the last few years where you can just hang out with the players there, basically. It's not the same as a fan fest type of situation. That'd be fun to do that at Yankee Stadium. But I don't know. Maybe they will. If they see the Mets are successful at making money off it, why wouldn't they want to jump on it? You got to pay Garrett Cole's salary somehow. Might as well try to supplement it a little bit with a fan fest. But, yeah, that's I wish they would do something like that. But I wish they would do it like – where I live, so I wouldn't have to travel down there. That's the tough. I mean, it's only 4 hours, 4.5 hours, whatever, by car and by train. It turns into a very long day.
Well, we just so everyone knows, a couple years ago, Todd and I went down to Citi Field to a Mets game.
Yeah.
And we drove down in the morning because it was like a 1 o'clock game, right?
Yeah, actually. It was a beautiful morning and no one on the roads, thank God.
Well, there was someone on the road.
Yeah, we like to call this trip. Oh, wait, go on. You can continue.
I live in Syracuse, New York, so Todd lives in Rome, so I had to pick him up along the way. And right after I pick him up, we get on the thruway. And there's really nobody on the thruway, which is great.
Yep.
And except for we pull up and there's two deer basically just standing in the middle of the road. Yep. So I kind of slow down. I don't know if I stopped or if I just slowed down, but I'm basically stopped.
Down, right. Yeah.
I'm basically stopped on the thruway. Mm-hmm. Thankfully, there's nobody behind me. And the two deer just kind of look at us. And one of them kind of moves to the side of the road. And the other one just takes off.
Yeah.
Towards the other oncoming traffic. Jumps over like the rail, the guard rail, and the median, and on the other side coming, there was tons of traffic actually on the other side of the thruway, and that deer leaped right into the front of a car, right, like we had the windows up, the radio on, the heat on, and we still heard we now call deer explosion.
We have emojis and everything for it.
The car and the deer never knew what hit them.
No,
it was just crazy.
The front bumper came off the car. I remember that. And the guy just kept driving for a little bit before he pulled over.
He was stunned. He had no clue what happened.
The deer never knew what hit it. I could still see it like in slow motion where it went into the front bumper. And it just exploded. Like I said, it was awful. And Mike and I had the exact same reaction because we looked back to see where they were going because there was no one behind us. Like I said, he had stopped in the middle of the thruway and we just both went, oh, and looked at each other like, holy cow, that was.
And then the other deer was still standing in front of us, sort of.
Yeah.
And then he kind of like looked around and then walked away. And
he's
was
like, oh,
and then
Pete,
for the.
What are you doing?
for the rest of the trip, we are just laser focused on the side of the road looking for deer.
Stunned. Oh boy, that was a vision I will never get out of my head.
So we get down to Citi Field. We see the Mets game. Mets got crushed that day.
Pittsburgh Pirates. Remember that?
Pittsburgh Pirates crushed.
Andrew McCutchen hit a home run while you were in the bathroom. We had some good food down there.
Yeah, good food. It's a great stadium. I love the stadium.
What a great stadium that is. Love it.
But then afterwards, all right, we're going to drive back up to upstate New York. Here we go.
Yeah.
And it took us, I think, an hour just to get out of New York City.
Oh, I think it was longer than that.
Which turned our trip into an even longer marathon.
It's a nightmare.
And, you know, I dropped Todd off in Rome, and I still got another hour to go or so to get to Syracuse.
It was awful and long just up to that point. You had to drive home more.
And then, I don't know what happened, but the biggest monsoon I have ever seen in my life. I was driving in the thruway in pitch black. Yeah. I could not see anything. And then there's so much rain and I feel like I'm like not even touching the road anymore. I feel like I'm like hydroplaning almost. So I luckily like about a mile down the road, there was a rest stop. So I got off and just sat there until the rain kind of like went away. And I was so tired at that point where I'm driving and I'm kind of looking out into the road and it's almost like I'm playing a video game. Like it wasn't even like it was real life anymore. Like I was just starting to lose it a little bit. It doesn't even matter like what I do. Like it's just, I'm playing a video game.
You could have just crashed at my house. That would have been way
easier. I
probably
should have.
If you knew that, you would have, but that is right there. The reason why you should take a train to New York City
Can stay overnight. A few months after that, I went down with my wife and kids. We went to another Mets game where the Mets got crushed by the Dodgers. But we went down. We drove down. I think it was a 4 o'clock game. So we drove down in the morning, went to the game, and then we stayed overnight at a like Best Western in Queens somewhere and went home the next day.
That's great. When you get rest, I mean, that drive back is no big deal.
Oh, it's nothing. Yeah.
That was a long day to drive down,
watch a 3.5 hour baseball game, and then drive all the way back. Like that was a mistake.
And it was cold and sprinkly throughout the game, too, and that makes you feel, too. You just want to curl up in bed and go to sleep, that was a great, seeing that stadium and that trip are memories I'll never forget. I know that was a good time, except for the deer exploding and, your drive after you dropped me off in Rome. I was sound asleep at that point when you were sound asleep.
And the Mets losing.
Well, yeah, that didn't bother me
you
as
don't
much.
You care about that.
No. But I wore a Mets hat that day, remember?
You did. Yeah.
I did. And I got flack for that, too. Why are you wearing a Mets hat? Whatever. I was at Citi Field. I wore at Fenway Park. I wore a Red Sox hat Red Sox. And when I bought those hats, I had to wear them. And I let the people know that I was a Yankee fan, which was just a weird situation. Memories.
You should have sat there in silence.
I remember I was wearing my Red Sox hat and a Yankee t-shirt driving back home when we were leaving Boston, going back home after my daughter's dance thing that was there. It was the night after or the day after the baseball game. And there was like this huge monsoon rainstorm. Go figure. No deer exploding, but this big monsoon. We passed like 6 accidents in the road. And there was this guy that stopped traffic and was directing traffic. And he stopped my car as I was coming up to him. And he looked at me. He looked at my shirt and my hat. He goes, "Something's wrong with you, boy." He's like, "Go on." I'm like, "Wow, okay." I'll never forget that. So, yeah, that was that trip. But nothing tops deer explosion. 2017?
2017. Almost 3 years ago.
Holy cow! Yeah. I can still hear it in my head.
Yeah.
All right. One other thing we wanted to talk about was the. The hats, of course, and we always go back to hats because that's our thing. The BP hats New Era is putting out, I still haven't seen the Yankee one. I know what it's going to be because I've seen the Mets and what else have we seen?
The first ones we saw were the A's, the Reds, and the Blue Jays.
Right, right. And they're weird this year. I don't know what I think. When I saw the Mets one, I liked the Mets one. I love the Toronto Blue Jays one. But explain what it is because you're the design guy.
Well, and for those who don't know, BP is just batting practice. So it's the batting practice hat that they'll wear all year, and it's also going to be their spring training hats. Right. So I think the past, like, maybe 3 years or so, they've had this. Everyone's had the same design for the batting practice hats. This year, it looks like they have a new design, and it's basically just your basically official logo with your secondary logo inside of it. And then and the secondary logo is on the right temple.
Yeah.
So, for instance, the Mets one is just, it looks like last year's batting practice hat, as in it's got a royal blue top with an orange brim. And then the NY, inside the NY is the Circle Mets logo.
Which you and can then kind on the right, of see.
Right. And then on the right temple is the Circle Mets logo. And then on the back would be the MLB logo.
Right. Now, what I don't get is if you have a skinny logo like the Yankees, the NY, any team with just a skinny lettering, I don't think it really works. It just looks like a dirty logo on your hat or something.
I don't hate the Mets one, though.
No, I know. I don't know why.
And it works.
I don't see how the Yankee one's going to work. Maybe it'll look just like the Mets one. Once I see them, I'm going to want it anyway, right. So it doesn't really matter.
Especially because they wear it on the field.
Right, and that's my thing. I love the stuff that the guys wear, so I'm going to have to want one.
I mean, you have to imagine that the Yankees one would just be the NY with the circle Yankees logo right. inside of it,
see,
right?
You'll see some of the lettering or the hat or something.
The hat.
But we'll see. I have not been able to find the picture of the Yankees one yet. We've seen the Mets one. The Blue Jays one. See, now they have a nice open logo. The Blue Jays have the Canadian the maple leaf, which is an open big logo. So they have the Blue Jay, the bird head sticking into it. And honestly, that should be one of their
It looks like a secondary Blue Jays logo.
It's a great hat. If I was a Blue Jays fan, I'd be thrilled to have that as the BP hat. And they have all new uniforms and design anyway. They got a whole whole good thing going on there. Their logo on their hat and helmet is like 3D. Did you see that? That's really cool.
Yeah, a lot of teams have been going to like the 3D like rubber logo. It's cool.
I like that a lot.
The Reds BP hat is creepy because they have that skinny C and they put inside the C is Mr. Redlegs and you just see like his eyes peeking through and it is so creepy and I'm so glad the Mets didn't do Mr. Met because it would have turned out probably the same way.
Yeah, I'm shocked that they didn't do that actually. What Mr. Redlegs, is he like Mr. Met's illegitimate cousin or something? They look exactly doesn't he have a mustache though?
They have quite a few actually. Mascot. They have a younger one. They have Mrs. Redlegs, and they have a few.
Mrs. Met is around too. I think they're all related somehow. They all have baseballs for heads.
Yeah,
something's going on there. But I'm shocked the Mets didn't put Mr. Met on that one. Just so you see his eyes, like the clubhouse collection hats that have the I can't remember what those ones. They have like his eyes. It looks like a murderer.
Oh, the logo like elements or something like that, they just take pieces of logos and kind of accentuate them. And the Mets one, I hated it because it's Mr. Met, but they only like you see the eyes and like the outline of the head, and it's creepy.
It is creepy. I actually like the Yankee one of that, and I would probably wear that, but I wouldn't buy it. If someone gave it to me, I'd wear it. But I wouldn't buy it.
They used the circle Yankee logo, right? And it kind of like accentuates the Uncle Sam hat, right?
Yeah, it's blown up and it's bigger on the hat and kind of off-centered a little bit. I think on one of them at least. Or maybe there's one where it's in the middle. But anyway, I like that design.
If the Mets did the circle logo for that, it could have been so cool. But they used Mr. Met instead. And usually I love when they use Mr. Met. They used to have Mr. Met on their uniforms 2015, but no longer. They just
when
have
did they
the
put
circle
him on the uniform?
Logo.
He was on the
2015,
sleeve.
2015, they had Mr. Met on the sleeve, and then also the batting practice hats had Mr. Met on it.
I actually own that Mets batting practice hat too.
I do too, but it's a 5950, and I swear it's 17 inches off the top of my head.
Yeah, he
is so tall.
He has to grow his Abraham Lincoln beard and say 4 score and 7 years ago when he wears it. And the Mets won the World Series. Oh, sorry.
Yeah. I really wish I could find a low profile of that. I see them for sale all the time for cheap.
That's a great hat. I love that hat,
but I need a low profile version of it.
Maybe there must exist out there somewhere. You check eBay or something. It's going to be worn though by
someone. Yeah, I don't want that.
All right. So if anyone has seen the Yankee BP hat this year, I mean, we've looked and we can't.
Yeah, it hasn't really leaked yet.
Of course,
spring training starts in 2 weeks.
Gotta be coming out any time now because spring training starts in 2 weeks. So I guess I'll run into it eventually. But I know I can say, oh, I don't want it because it's weird and all that. But once I see the players wearing it, I'll want it. It's just, you've seen my hat collection.
It's probably just going to look like kind of like the 4th of July hat because it's just going to be the Yankee logo with pretty much red, white, and blue inside of it.
Well, like I have the flag one, the NY with the flag. Right. I love that hat. That's a great one from, that was two, three years ago, something like that. It's got the inside of the brim has the flag pattern on it.
Right.
And around the sweatband around the inside is all red, white, and blue too. I love that hat. That's a comfortable one. And I like the logo. So, well, that's our hat talk for today. All right. So, again, look for us on social media, Apples and Pinstripes, on any of the social medias, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat. Are we going to start a TikTok page? We can dance and sing and stuff.
I'd have to talk to my daughter about that because I don't know anything about it.
Maybe my daughter and your daughter, they're close in age. My daughter's 16. Mm-hmm. Yours is what, 14?
Yeah.
You say yes?
Yes. Oh, I said yes.
Kind of cut out. I mean, I don't know. Maybe they could put a TikTok thing together. I don't know. Not. It's a good thought, but I don't know. It's tough when you don't live near each other to do something like that. So she watches TikTok all the time. And she makes me watch them. Some of them are funny, but most of it is all stupid, set up stuff. It just drives me crazy. And people love it. I'm getting old. That's what it comes down to. I'm just getting old. Never thought I'd get there. But did you watch any of the Grammys?
I saw Aerosmith.
See, I haven't seen that part yet. I've got it on my DVR because it was on too late because I'm old.
That was painful.
Was it?
I like Aerosmith. I used to be a huge Aerosmith fan. Not I don't listen to them much anymore, but they sounded terrible.
Yeah, great. But the part that got me was the I can't even remember his name now. Tyler the.
Yeah, I didn't see that.
Some rapper guy, Tyler the
Creator.
Creator, there you go. Yeah, see, look at that. I can't even remember his name. It was that good. And we're sitting there watching this performance. Like, what? I had this look on my face like I was shocked by something. And I turned my 16-year-old daughter sitting behind me and my 13-year-old son is sitting behind me. And they had the same look on their face. And my daughter goes, what am I watching? I said, okay, good. I'm not as old as I thought I don't feel as bad as I thought because I'm like, what is this? This isn't music. I felt really old, but then they made me feel better because they felt the same way. So, but I didn't enjoy that. But Alicia Keys, I don't know if you saw any of her. She was awesome on the Grammys. Good stuff.
Yeah.
You're not a Grammys guy? I always loved the Grammys.
No, that's because I don't listen to any of that music. So anything I listen to is not nominated for anything. So
a lot of the music I listen to isn't on there either, but I like to see what's going on. I always check it out. I don't care about the awards because that's ridiculous, but I like to see some of the music. Anyway, all right. So that was the week that was with Apples and Pinstripes. Check us out on social media. Again, find us on whatever podcast app you want. You can listen to us. Make sure you subscribe. Leave us a review or something. And again, tweet at Mike and make him do fantasy baseball with me. That's the most important thing from this whole show. If you learned anything, he has to do fantasy baseball in my league this year. So please help me out.
It's at M. Borkowski. B-O-R-K-O-W-S-K-I.
And we need 15 people to step up to the plate, pun intended, and get him on fantasy baseball with me. I have two openings. So if anyone else wants to join in too, hey, let me know. I'll send you an invite. I like to do that.
Yeah, that's what you should do. You should recruit people on here for to be in your league.
You? I'm trying to recruit you.
Well, how's that going for you?
6 years or 7 years, whatever. And I get the same eye roll emoji every single year. It was today you sent me, I can't even remember what it was, but I'm like, yeah, I knew that was coming. Some smart remark about, let me see if I can find it. Oh.
My Hall of Fame ones are Elmo shrugging.
Yep, that's a good one.
Mr. Roper smiling at the camera.
Several of those.
Stanley Hudson rolling his eyes. What else?
And this involves him. And it says, boy, have you lost your mind? Because
oh, yeah. I'll help you find it. I'll help you
find it, yeah. Those are your main go-to ones. The kid staring and blinking.
Yeah.
Those are the emojis I get, or the gifts I get when I ask him to join fantasy baseball. Anyway, make it happen, people. Come on, you can do it. Do you want to give out any of your other social media? Your website?
Yeah, just go to my website, michaelborkowski.com. I should have some new artwork coming very soon. Actually, I'm going to be posting something today that has nothing to do with baseball or this show.
Oh.
But there's a big basketball game. It's Super Bowl Sunday, which I don't really care about. But there's a big basketball game coming up on Saturday in these parts.
That's right.
And Duke is coming to the Carrier Dome. Well, the Dome.
Yeah, right.
To play Syracuse. So I may have a little artwork for that.
Oh, that was exciting.
Actually, by the time this comes out, it'll be up because I'll put it up this afternoon.
Cool. Now, were you going to do some artwork for the show too, though? You had mentioned that.
I'm going to try to get something done, yeah.
All right. I always look forward to those, and hopefully you guys enjoy them too. Kind of going along with the theme of the show, he's been doing little drawings of us in character form. And
with our hats on.
Yeah, whatever hat we're wearing. So that's always...
You wore that hat? Because you want me to draw it?
I didn't even think of that. I just wore it this morning to work, so... But sure. Let me get closer so you can see it better. Don't draw a cigar in his mouth. It's a passive.
I'll find the logo online.
All right. Well, that's a wrap for today. Oh, you can find me on Twitter, at Todd Emanuele. Same on Instagram, Facebook. Find our the Apples and Pinstripes accounts. You'll see all the artwork that Mike's done for the show and stuff on there. And check out his website because his artwork's great. I've always said that. I'm a huge fan of his work, and you should check it out. So go look at that. It's worth the trip over. And are you going to the SU game?
Yeah.
Oh, are you? Okay. That's late. It's too late for me on Saturday night.
Yeah, I wish it wasn't at 8 o'clock. But
I know. But I heard it's going to be a big crowd. But we were there in 2014 for the first time they played each other at the Dome. And that was the best live sporting event I've ever been at in my life.
Yeah, me too.
I was at the game, and this is going to be an episode at some point too. I was at the Yankee game where Jim Abbott threw a no-hitter, and this made that look silly. It was incredible.
It was not just the atmosphere, because it was the first time Duke had come to the Carrier Dome, but the game itself was one of the best basketball games I've ever seen. It was
lived up.
It was amazing.
All the hype. It was,
and of course, our team won, so that helps too.
Yeah, it would have. Yeah, right. If they had lost, it wouldn't have been as good of a memory. But I still remember we walked into the Dome 2 hours before tip time, and you could feel the electricity in that building like I've never felt before. And I remember during the game, you couldn't hear. We were sitting pretty close to the court, and you couldn't hear the referee's whistles. It was so loud in there. You could not hear a whistle. Never forget that. That was so cool. If you have no idea what we're talking about, Google Syracuse versus Duke 2014 at the Carrier Dome and watch the videos. It was 36,000 people, biggest on-campus crowd in college basketball history, and it was great. Just awesome. So I heard over 31,000 tickets sold already for Saturday, so
it'll be a big nuts.
Nuts there, and Syracuse has found their way back into things somehow, despite a tough loss the other night. This is a baseball podcast.
We're going to go off on tangents a lot.
Oh, yeah. That's just the way my brain works. So who do you think is going to win the Super Bowl? Speaking of baseball podcast, do you even know who's playing?
I do know who's playing. Baseball fans are going to win the Super Bowl because when the Super Bowl's over, football's over.
Yes.
And it's time for some baseball.
Oh, I love it. But I think the Chiefs are going to win. That's my prediction. I really don't care. But I didn't watch a single football game all year until the playoffs, and I watched up until the conference championship so far.
I'll bring it back to baseball. If you're a Mets fan, I guess you're rooting for the Chiefs because of Pat Mahomes.
He's wearing that Mets jersey.
Junior. His dad pitched for the Mets.
Yep. And he was wearing a Mets jersey in one of the press conferences. Did you see that? Did you see that?
I did, yeah.
Oh.
I said yes. Thanks a lot, Skype.
Yes, Skype. We need to find something better. We apologize. If you hear audio cutting in and out and stuff, it's not us. It's not our microphones.
If I sound like I'm in slow motion, because I listen back to one of the shows and I sound like this, hey, what's up, everybody?
It's Skype. And
we think that's what the problem is.
It's Skype. I've tried hooking up to a direct line to my Wi-Fi, and it was the same. So I apologize for it sounding. But someday we'll get equipment that works. Most people don't use Skype for podcasts, I don't think, because of this. When you get the lagging and cutting in and out, but whatever, you get the gist of what we're doing here, and we hope you're enjoying it, and we hope you'll come back next week for episode 7, and we'll be that much closer to baseball season. I am so excited. I can't wait for baseball to start, and fantasy baseball is here, and so is Mike. It's coming with me this year. Come to the dark side, or the light side, whatever. Come on. You can do it. Make it happen. Twitter people. All right, we'll see you next week. Make sure, again, you go find Apples and Pinstripes wherever. Like us, follow us, subscribe, and say all kinds of nice things. And we'll see you next time. Bye.
Ah.
Todd likes the Yankees and Mike likes the Mets. Todd's life has been championships and Mike's has been regrets. Apples and Pinstripes from spring train until fall. Apples and Pinstripes, they're talking baseball. Apples.